Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present, and emerging, and their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today we're speaking to the fantastic Marg and Lee from Duncan Legal.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well,
hi.
Hello.
We're on Zoom, so it's all a bit, confusing.
Yeah.
But we're used to it now.
Yeah, we really are.
We really, really are. And it makes it less likely that we spread any diseases.
That's right. Hooray.
Colds and flu are rampaging through Melbourne.
Yes, they are.
I don't know about the rest of Australia, but we're going to have a fun winter.
It's pretty
winter.
Cold here this morning, but it's still mildish.
Yep. This morning was Melbourne weather. Double yesterday's temperature.
Yeah, yesterday was icy cold.
So
my
cold.
Goodness,
I had my
Melbourne.
Puffer jacket on at the bus stop. Just wore my Ugg boots, don't care.
Anyway, today we have two great guests and I think it's going to be super helpful for the P-Tribe. So,
and interesting, really interesting.
Yeah, so would you like to say hello, each of you, and introduce yourselves?
Well, hi there. I'm Marg Duncan. So I'm the principal lawyer at Duncan Legal, which is a firm I established probably about 8 years ago. We're a very small boutique practice based in Borwin in Victoria. And I am accompanied by my practice manager, Lee Smart, who joined me about a year after I set up. And we are both parents of pea shoots.
Yes.
So we met as parents at the same special school and both of our sons have autism and an intellectual disability. So Lee was brave enough. She just wanted some part-time work. She was brave enough to start with me. I started up from absolute nothing after 14 years being home caring for the family.
Yeah.
I had no clients, no direction, nothing.
Huge.
So Lee was brave enough to come on board with me and evolve with me.
Yeah.
And it's been an amazing partnership. Probably we've got lots of things in common because you guys obviously have an amazing partnership too. But this is how our partnership has evolved. And so one of the things that we really love about what we do, and about 65% of our practice is families with disability, is bringing our own experience and wisdom to the table and sharing it, giving it back. I never thought when I had a child with a disability that I would have any kind of opportunity to do this. It was the biggest disaster under the sun when we had the diagnosis. But here we are, and for me, it's a great privilege to be able to, I guess, bring peace of mind to people and help them with their estate planning arrangements, because you do lie in bed at night worrying what's going to happen to my kids when they're adults there are adult expectations and they have adult rights. And also, what's going to happen when I'm gone? Who's going to look
after
them?
Number one question, I think.
And Lee, are you now working full time, or did you stay with a very small time job, part time job?
I started off with just 2 days a week, but I'm up to 4, and the possibility is soon. Well, I'll need to go to 5.
Yes,
yeah, because I just sort of can't go missing for a day a week.
What a shame.
People expecting me to be there to respond to emails, which I often do at night at home.
Yeah. Lee's still got one doing final year at school.
Yeah. Well, how about we ask our P questions and then we've got so much to talk to you about. I can't wait. So how about we start with Marg? What's our first question? Oh, music. What's your favourite song that you like to listen to in the good times or the tricky times?
Yep.
Look, I go through phases. I go through different songs, but the one that I guess stands out the most and helped me on my journey was Rock What You Got by Superchick.
Ah, I don't
2008.
Know that.
If you really listen to the words, it's all about people who don't fit in and standing out and just rocking what they got.
Great.
So
song.
For me, you know, I never thought I was a mainstream lawyer. In fact, there was a time in my life where I was never going to go back to it again. And then I had this epiphany after my marriage ended and I had to recreate myself. It's like, well, why are you trying to fit into some kind of stereotyped image? Why don't you just, do it your way?
Yeah.
Do it your way. Why fit in when you can stand out?
Yes.
And that was a real turning point for me. It's like, righto, I'm just going to do it my way.
Yes. Yes.
With a lot of heart.
So powerful.
And what about you, Lee?
Well, this is really daggy.
No.
But,
no music.
No daggy.
And it's not the song itself. It's what it creates. And I love doing the Nutbush.
Oh, yes.
I love the Nutbush. Nutbush City Limit. Yeah.
I love it because it gets everybody up on the dance floor and
need that for your 50th.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I played it 3 times at mine. whether you liked it or not. But one of my greatest joys is I've been to a few of the birthday parties of my sons who have ID and the Special Olympics Christmas party.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
And you get They get up and I'm quite happy to stand out the front and do the actions and yell out the instructions and teach new people, and they get up and they just have a ball, and the joy that it brings me to see them participating, his arms and legs going everywhere. And I get muddled as well halfway through and I have to catch back up. Yep. But that's the joy that song brings me.
Song. Oh. And for those of you who live overseas, I didn't realise this was an Australian thing.
What? The Nutbush?
Yeah.
No, the dance. The dance. The song isn't, obviously, because it's Tina and Ike. But I've seen all these TikToks recently of Americans losing their mind when they come to an Australian party and everyone gets up and they're like, I saw this guy like, do they teach you in middle school? Like, how do you all know?
Yes. I definitely learn in primary school.
So
wow.
If you haven't seen it, you have to Google Australians at a party with the Nutbush and you will see it. It's all over TikTok at the moment because nobody else can
really. Wow.
Yeah, I saw this great TikTok of all these American like factory workers just watching someone's phone losing their mind. So
I'm going to look that up.
I have
That's
to
awesome,
say,
Lee. Thank you.
I did the Nutbush at the Bulleen Special School dead ball.
Yes.
One of the greatest dancing nights of my life.
Oh,
Yeah, you are so right.
Yep. You get a train happening.
It really deserves on the playlist.
Really. Yep. Yep. Joy. Joy. I remember my daughter didn't want to get up, but one of her friends came and said, do you want to dance with me? And she looked at me and then she said, okay. And I was like, off you go.
Yeah. It's so good.
Okay, keep going.
All right, next question. And so our favourite question, almost, Marg, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, Lee said I have to answer.
Yes, lawyers. Got a few.
I like
up
that people
sleeve.
Are ashamed of awards.
For life because I never won a trophy at anything. I'm really crap at sport. But I did win third prize in the cake competition in grade six.
Excellent.
For a packet mix cake, which was thrown together at the last minute. And, you know, as a kid, you want, you know, sugary things on top. So, like, you want hundreds and thousands and gravy icing.
Yep.
We didn't have any in the cupboard, so I had to decorate it with dried fruit, which I thought was pretty ordinary. And then I won bloody third prize.
Oh, they liked a bit of sultanas.
The teachers are like, look at this healthy.
Yeah. It's a bit of a change from hundreds and thousands.
Smarties.
Look, some people be up for that.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. What about you, Lee?
Competition.
No school awards, no. I had to wait till I was 38 before I won an individual award in netball, the most valuable player in netball. That's the only award I've ever won in my life.
Yeah, congratulations. Thank
you. And
yeah.
I still have the cloth patch, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
For your netball skirt. Yes. I still have that pinned to my notice board in the kitchen to this day.
What a moment getting those little patches. I remember.
I never had many.
Oh,
it's interesting that you asked that question. Can I ask, why do you ask that question?
Because we had an episode early on where we talked about awards and how we find them sometimes challenging for them to be meaningful for our children.
And all children, actually.
And all children.
We've written a whole chapter on the book, in the book, about awards. And I think sometimes, you know, because I have a child who just sailed through school. Like, I mean, yes, she worked hard, but she understands concepts the minute they're presented to her.
Yeah.
And she won so many awards, and her blazer was covered in all little, you know, different braids and all this stuff. And yet my twins 100% have tried so much harder and have never won anything academic, and they never will. And so I just thought, this is all bullshit. This is absolute rubbish. And if you're going to get a 99 ATAR, that's the ultimate award, isn't it? Like, it doesn't matter what led up to that. But if you've tried really, really, really hard in school and failed most of the spelling tests, who deserves the award? The person who's trying harder.
And so, also some of our kids have had trite awards in mainstream schools and you know, we just wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, so we've got a real, it's a bee in our bonnet.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting discussion.
And and then so, now we make everyone answer.
I know it's not exactly strictly on point, but I had the experience because my kids were crap at sport as well. Mm. So I had the privilege 1 year of watching both of my kids run last in the cross country.
Yes.
Mm. One of them, the one with ASD, just didn't get the concept of race and kind of flippity-jibbity.
Yeah, better.
Blah, 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 and, you know, didn't really understand the point. And the other one, my daughter had other issues in terms of, you know, fitness and muscle tone and so forth. And because that's just devastating because she's still got to be bright and, you know, encouraging and all the rest of us standing and thinking, oh, my God, both of them.
Yeah.
My son ran second, and this is one of the most beautiful and pivotal experiences in my whole journey with him is that he came, we were all waiting for him to come out from the bushes, you know, they'd done this big circuit and then come into the oval, and he was in year six, and when he appeared, some of the other kids in his class, some of the other boys ran around and ran him home, cheered him, brought him right back to the finish line. Come on, come on, Lockie, you can do it. What a tear, absolute tear to my eye. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Yes. And I thought, well, that's why I sent him to this school.
Yes, that's right.
For that moment.
That's right.
And then I told his teacher, who for some reason must have been preoccupied, you know, managing something else at the sports meeting. She said, oh, I wish I'd seen it. She said, that kid that led the others out there, such a shit of a kid. But he had this beautiful quality in that he responded to something, some kind of need in Lockie and rose to the occasion.
Beautiful.
So, you know, even though you do run last in those sorts of things, there can be other amazing dimensions to that.
I know. Someone has to come first and someone has to come last.
That's right.
I'm happy
when
to
it's
be
always
last,
our kids, it's not fair.
No, and it's hard. It's hard as a parent
to watch.
Continue to encourage them and
So
our next question is, why are you peas? And you've loosely talked about that before, but maybe just tell us a little bit more, each of you, about your journey of being a parent of a child with a disability.
Well, maybe I should let Lee go first because I seem to be jumping
in. Fine. Well, you can go, Lee.
Well, I'm a pea because I've got a 22-year-old son who has ASD and ID.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to go through in mainstream primary school. Yep. Our local primary school has a very good integration program. Mm. And so even before we were able to jump all the hoops to get integration support, he was actually placed in a classroom with other kids who already had integration support. And it was the most wonderful primary school, just a local government school.
Mm. And did you go to mainstream or special school?
No. So we went to Rossbourne School.
Yeah, yes.
So it's a little independent yes. one. And that was the making of him. No. Yeah. It's a fantastic school. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, Marg, tell us a little bit more about your story.
Okay, so Lockie's my middle child. So two boys and a girl, probably discovered things weren't tracking normally when he was about two, although when you picked him up as a baby, you used to just hang, you didn't cling. Right. You know, there were a number of telltale signs when he started walking, he was tiptoeing and all yep. of those sorts of things. Mm. And I didn't know what it was. No. I just knew it wasn't right. Mm. And I went from person to person, and because back in that time, so that would have been, early 2000s, you didn't really get diagnoses of autism until they, you know, were about 6 years of age. Mm. So they're much better these days. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what it was. I just knew that there were all these little things that didn't kind of mesh. Mm-hmm. And I had the older child to kind of compare them to. And I even went to a developmental paediatrician, but I was so unwell that day. I was full of some kind of allergy and I didn't really express myself very yes. clearly. And she just really wrote me off as a hypochondriac mother. Said, oh, you'll be right. Anyway, I finally got to an OT and she said, I'll work with him for 3 months and then I'll tell you what I think, but I really can't tell you straight up. Mm-mm. I am so grateful to that OT. She gave me the worst news of my life, but she was brave enough to give it to me. Mm. And once you know what you're dealing with, it's even though you go through that grief process of the change in your expectations around that child, I'm eternally grateful because then you know what you're dealing with and then you can work with that going forwards.
And
help. Mm. So, and as it turned out, the OT wrote to the paediatrician and she actually rang me. The paediatrician actually rang me and apologised. I got that wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a
but
big
it's awful
deal.
When I got a lot of that you're a hypochondriac mother until we got to the point of a diagnosis. Mm.
And you two met at Rossbourne?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. So were your boys in the same year?
Yes. So they became friends and Lee's the more social one of the two of us. So she organised, you know, to get to know some of the parents and some of the kids. Yeah. And that's how we got to know each other.
Oh, how great.
Fantastic.
Just amazing that the friends that you meet at school, when you're so worried about your children making friends, then you're like, oh, it turns out I've got a lifelong buddy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what was beautiful about Rossbourne community is that everyone was in the same boat. Yeah. So there was a level of compassion and understanding in the room right from the word go.
Yeah.
That you don't get in a mainstream school. That's not to underrate other families and parents. Just everyone in the room has undergone a hard journey. Yes. So you don't have to explain it.
Which is just such a relief. Oh. You're like, I don't have to talk about half of that part of my life. Great. Mm. What did you have for tea last night? It's just you can start from there.
Yeah.
And how that translates in terms of the business is that, you know, families come to us and sometimes after having seen other lawyers who don't get it, they go, I don't have to explain it to you.
Yes.
You get it. Let's get on with the while we're here.
So, Marg, when you decided to start the business, did you think I am going to specialise in families with disability? No.
No, okay. I didn't. No, I came out of a marriage and I had no idea what I was going to do. I'd spent 14 years as a at-home mum and de facto OT and a de facto speech therapist. And, you know how you have to morph into whatever the specialist says they're going to need in the next week to come. You've got to suddenly become that overnight. So I had been at home for 14 years trying to give Lockie and my other kids the best start I could. And the marriage ended and it's like I had been out of the game because I decided after Lockie was born, he's the second one, it was just too hard.
Yeah.
And my daughter had issues as well in terms of mobility. She bum shuffled. She, you know, her muscle tone was low as a baby. And so my former husband, we were lucky because he was a very good provider. So we were able to pay for the best care that we could find. Mm. But, you know, at the home front, it was pretty tough going. Mm. Sorry, I've lost my train.
Yeah, so you started the business. Did you start it from your house?
Yeah,
did
no,
you
so
rent
I didn't.
Out somewhere to work? How did you do it?
Yeah, I started from home.
Yeah.
Because I was then a single parent.
Yeah.
And I still had them with me. And
how old were your children then?
The eldest would have been about 16. He went to live with his dad. Right. So then I only had the other two.
Yeah.
And it would have been 13 and 10.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That stage.
Yeah.
And I needed to be home because, you know, you get that phone call from school or, or they're sick or whatever. Yeah. And
challenging.
Yeah. It's just different.
Yeah. Mm. So I worked from home for 7 years. We've only just been in business premises now for a year.
Right.
Wow. Coming up for a year.
Wow.
And so Lee used to come to my home every day, and we'd set up in the front part of the house, and we'd have clients there. So, working from home, I don't know if you guys have gone that journey, but it can be tough to switch off from work. Mm. And you know, it used to take me a nanosecond to walk from my office into the kitchen at night time and start making dinner.
Yeah, I work in my bedroom. It's just that's the way it is, especially since the pandemic.
Mm. Yeah. Or the kids would come home and they'd just come into the office with their stuff.
Yep.
You know, and you'd have to flip from, you know, handling, you know, drafting something or talking to a client to dealing with their stuff. But
being a mum.
Lee, when you came on board, what was that like for you? Was that a time where you needed a job?
Yeah, I'd been working from home in a completely different realm. I was sort of working in I put slushy machines into school canteens.
Oh,
there
wow.
you go.
Nut bush and slushy machines.
What a woman.
I've got one at home.
She hires it out if you ever need one.
I bet, yeah.
And I don't live far from you girls. I'm in Croydon Hills. Oh, so keep it in mind.
There you go.
Out of Eastie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was looking for something I wanted to get out. I'd got to the point where I was tired of working from home, and it was I found it very difficult to find a job. It was a real ageist problem.
Yes. Real ageist,
a real issue. And so really thrilled when Marg offered some employment. I went in for a few months to help her sort out all her paperwork because she's a little bit of a hoarder.
Thanks, darling.
So I helped her clean out her office for a few days, and then I started early in 2015. I love what we do, and I think I came to the job with quite a few different I've worked in a number of different areas and professions and have a range of sort of, you know, office skills. I spent 9 years in marketing, and I've done bookkeeping and the whole thing. So, I come with a range of skills. But, I love what we do.
Yeah,
I think what's great about Lee is that she's everything that I need her to be. So she's she morphs into whatever I need her to be. She can be a witness. She can be a marketer. She can be a bookkeeper and run the trust account. She's great, you know, great at the reception. She just does what is there to be done. And that's priceless.
And I don't know about you, but for Kate and I, that beauty of being able to say it's been a hard morning or I can't do this today, that understanding between each other that, you know, life is challenging outside of work, and so how do we have grace for that?
Yeah, it's
unique. And you know, we understand enough to be able to cut each other slack when needed. So if, you know, there's one of us that has lost someone in the family, you know, we're bereaved, or there's a major surgery that's happening in the background, or there's issues with the kids. Mm. It's like, go home. It's fine. Yeah. I'll cover you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It's how the world should be.
Yeah.
But anyway,
women.
So we do it. We do it our way.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
The right way.
And the thing is too, that most clients understand that, especially the ones who have disability in the family. And then with, of course, you know, what we've been through in the last couple of years, nobody cares now if the cat walks in front of the screen
or he
comes in the back door while you're zooming.
I know. We have changed.
How?
Yeah. So when a client's come to you, what do you think is the part of their estate planning that they didn't think about? Like, is there something that you're like, nobody thinks about this?
one of the things no one ever thinks about is if what happens if the whole family unit is wiped out, like where does your estate go? So if there's like a catastrophe or a, you know, or a plane goes down or a minibus gets hit or something like that, what happens? That's not so relevant to disability, I suppose.
No, but it's still.
I think one of the biggest things for families who have disability in the mix that affects mental capacity is to get their head around what a trust is. It's really, really important. And it's a concept a lot of people struggle with because it's almost a fiction. And so I work a lot with actually helping them understand what a trust is, because if they're family member with a disability is not going to be able to manage their finances or will need support, they're going to have to set up a trust, and they're going to have to know how that is structured. They're going to need to go and find somebody who can step in as a trustee and make decisions around managing money for their family member with a disability. So that's a big one for people to get their head around. The other thing I think area of real complexity that most people haven't thought about is how much can I leave them? Because I want them to continue getting disability support pension and or to have the government pension card with the healthcare benefits, et cetera. And that means that you can only bequeath that child a certain amount because there are Centrelink cutoff limits. And if you give them more than that, they lose their pension. So and what's the pension worth? You've got to think, what's the pension worth?
Well, it's worth a lot, isn't it? Can they can money sit in a family trust or bank account and just come out each year, or does it?
Well, Centrelink asks questions about everything.
Yeah.
So they want to know if you're a beneficiary of a trust. And if there's a certain amount in a trust, that whole amount is potentially could come to that beneficiary. So they count that against them.
Right.
So
That's tricky.
It can get very, very complicated in terms of how you provide for a family member, particularly if you are somebody who has significant assets, et cetera. So you've got to weigh up, do we keep them on the pension? Are we going to need, are we going to be able to leave them enough money to self-fund? If you can self-fund, that's easy. It's where the people are in the middle. It's like we've got a certain amount, but is that enough to say that we could self-fund or not? And then that's the loss of that connection to all of the government benefits.
Yes, which is so important.
Which is hard fought at the beginning because I just did it last year. So,
You never know whether something can go wrong.
They
might need to get back on that. You know, there might be another global financial crisis or stock market crash. So it's so much.
So they're probably the two biggest things is like self-funded versus, you know, staying on the pension, and also understanding how a trust works.
And so if you are lucky enough or you've worked hard enough, whatever, to be able to maybe buy your child a little unit or a house, or does that go against their pension, or is that?
Well, if you own it, they're only asset tested on what they actually own themselves or what they have an entitlement to. So if you have a place that they can live in, you're probably best to own it until such time as you die or, you know. So keep it out of their personal ownership. There may be problems with them owning it personally anyway because they're vulnerable. So then do they own it or does a trust own it? So there's lots of different combinations you can explore. What does another family member hold it for them in their name, et cetera?
It's also tricky, isn't it?
Because it's very tricky.
Then your other family member might have an asset that affects them and,
There's a special kind of a trust that's available for people that have what Centrelink deemed to be a severe disability. So you have to fit in with their definition of the word. But basically they must be eligible to receive a pension, and they must be unable to work without support for more than 7 hours a week.
Right.
So if you're under those thresholds, you probably would get the tick from Centrelink to say you've got a severe disability. In a special disability trust, you can bequeath a property of any value to that trust, and the value of that property is not means tested against the child. But special disability trusts are quite a very specialised area, and you really do need to do your research around that to going forwards.
And you have to find a lawyer who actually understands, you know, because...
And sometimes it's hard to find those people. So we are bringing you to
and
the page.
Look, I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be here because one of my goals for this year was to try and reach more people in rural Victoria because now that we can Zoom, we can do a lot more that way.
Yes.
And I do find that clients are really, really relieved to find someone who can talk to them about all of these things.
Of course.
And they're willing to travel for that final signing date, you know, to get the documents in place.
We probably should have said that at the beginning. This is Victorian law. This is what you're practicing in.
Well, most of it is Victorian. We've got federal law and state law, but most of the laws that govern estate planning are at the Victorian level, and certainly laws that are around supported decision making. And that's the other area I'd like to, I guess, put out there today is that, you know, for people who've got children who are heading towards adulthood, you know, one of the biggest concerns you have as a parent is like, oh my gosh, how are they going to cope? How are they going to cope now when they're expected to be able to vote?
Oh, it's terrifying.
See seven doctors terms, on the road. That's what I'm down to.
Yeah.
I can't shake that out of my head.
My recommendation, Mandy, is to start now preparing your kids. If you think that they've got sufficient mental capacity to give me and or give a lawyer instructions to appoint a supportive attorney, that's someone who actually helps them to make decisions. They're in the driver's seat, they're making decisions, but you can help them by accessing information on their behalf, helping to communicate and carry out decisions, and also helping them step through the option weighing process when they're making decisions. The other part of being someone's supportive attorney is that you can step in if they get themselves into a pickle, where you know, usually you'd be locked out because privacy laws all of a sudden kick in. So if you are a supportive attorney for any of your children and they get themselves into trouble, then you can get yourself a seat at the table to help them sort it out.
Really,
but that gives parents a lot of peace of mind as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, we all want our kids to flourish. We want them to become as autonomous and make as many decisions as they can for themselves, because that's what we wish for everybody.
Yes.
But we know that they're not quite... don't have the same abilities, and they may take more time to get there.
That's right.
Yeah, and if they're supported, then they can.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Lee, when you initially are meeting families, what's that like for you? You're trying to – how do you direct them to Marg, like, or do you do that? Like, you need this help
usually,
or you need – what is a practice manager? What does that mean?
Oh, usually it's just sort of setting up the appointments, but I do talk them through what we call the EP audit process.
Right.
So we
estate planning. EP.
Yeah, EP estate planning. So we it's an appointment where we get the client to fill out a large it's quite a long form, which you put in all the details about your family circumstances and your estate, all the things that may have an impact on your children and what would go into your will and your powers of attorney. Mm. And we set up an appointment, and the first half an hour we provide free of charge.
Mm.
Marg does a lot of preparation before the appointment so that she understands what that person's estate looks like and the family structure. We need to know if there's disability. We need to know if there's many children, no children, other children, I should say. Mm. And, you know, what your super looks like and what assets you've got, so that Mark can give you that information. So then she sits down and she goes through a whole range of things and gives those clients some ideas of things they need to think about, because often they don't need to, they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so you come away with a list of things to go away and think about, and then we also provide you with, you know, an estimate if they were to come to us to have the work done, and then they can think about it and get back to us. But it gives them some really meaty things to go away and have a conversation, particularly within a couple, about how what they should do going forwards.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, oh, my goodness, I've never thought of those things before.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we work with clients too is it evolves. So some people haven't thought about these things, and then we might go along a little way and they'll go, oh, my gosh, I need some time to think about that.
Mm,
and
yeah.
we'll sort of hit the pause button, and then they'll come back. So It's not a sort of a quick turnaround in some cases. Mm. We've had some that have gone on for years, and yet we've had others that come in very clear cut, yes, want this, this and this, and off we go. So we work with people and it takes the time it takes to get there.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
What I was curious about was if you have children with very different earning capacities and, I don't know, not that you can ever predict what someone's life will be like, but, you know, you think that some people are going to have a more financial life than others, is it okay to divide up your will accordingly, or is that just mean and hurts people's feelings after you've passed away?
Look, you can do whatever you want is the bottom line. I often ask, one of the questions I ask is, are the splits between your children going to be equal or unequal?
Yeah.
Every family is different on this one. Right. Some families say it's got to be scrupulously fair because I want to send an equal message of love to all of my children.
Yeah.
Others say, oh, no, the child with a disability needs to get more because they're never going to have the same ability to work and earn, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the rest will get the residue divided equally between them.
Mm.
And then others say, oh, but that child needs to stay on the pension. So they might end up with actually less than, you know, the other children do.
So
it can cut in many different ways. If a will was ever challenged and there's by the representative of a child with a disability say, I haven't been given enough, the courts actually don't like children with a disability getting less than the other family members. But as I say, I don't think it's been tested yet, but I think there's this grey zone where, you know, there's only this much in the estate and it's really necessary, and an equal share is not going to be enough for that child to do it, you know, be sustained alone. I think there's an argument for saying, yes, give them as much as they can take under the Centrelink limits and I think it can be justified.
And perhaps communicate
beforehand.
Beforehand.
Yes.
Years earlier.
Oh, absolutely. If you're going to leave an unequal split, have all the family on board with it.
Yeah. And the reason.
Because you don't want any surprises coming out of the woodwork.
No.
And most couples tell me, oh, my kids will never fight about this. Oh. No, they'll be fine with it. No, they seriously do.
Of course they do. But then, because we're just people and human nature, and put grief us into crisis. Does strange things to us. And
And, you know, after someone passes away, I mean, kids say beforehand, no, I don't want you to leave me anything. I don't need anything. Not understanding that their mum or their dad is the treasure.
Yes.
But when the treasure has passed, then the things become valuable, you know, the things. And then all of the sibling rivalry from childhood can bubble up and they're in grief. And often people don't behave in a way that's typical of them when they're in that zone.
No, they don't. And then you remember clearly the things that were said, and it can really impact your family forever and your relationship.
And where does that adult with a disability, and even more maybe with an intellectual disability, fit within all of that?
Yeah.
Difficult.
Mm.
And you'd want them to have a fairly good representative outside the family circle if someone had to go into bat for them.
Yeah, that's really, really, really great. Thank you for telling us about that.
One thing to, I think, really understand about disability estate planning or estate planning in general is that it's not perfect. The plan is never perfect. And if I have people who are striving to get that perfect plan in place. Mm. They never do. They always come at it from a different angle. What about this? What about this? We don't have a crystal ball. We don't know how it's going to unfold. But it's better to have a plan than no plan, infinitely better. So I encourage people to have a plan, even if it's not perfect.
Yeah, and it
the other thing to bear in mind,
loved as well, doesn't it? As the child that's left behind, mum and dad or my primary carer or whatever thought about me enough.
Yeah, yeah, and in terms of your question earlier, Kate, I often say to families, you know, they say, oh, well, this child is now married and they're very wealthy and they don't need the money. And I often say to them, but your will is the last message you leave to your family members, and make it a loving one. So send it as a message of love. And if you're going to not give an equal gift to that child, you really got to have a very strong message of love in there.
Yeah, you really, really do. I think it's really tricky in my family. As I've mentioned on the podcast before, I have a brother who's has a tricky life. He's a heroin addict, and I know my mum would give anything for him to have a roof over his head, because he doesn't. And so in her heart of hearts, she would love to buy him a little house.
Yeah.
And then the rest of us are like, oh, well, does that mean you don't love us to give us anything, even though we know that he deserves a roof over his head? So it's really, really
complex.
Tricky.
Yeah,
it is. It's good that you have that awareness of that tension, Kate, because I don't think a lot of people have that level of awareness either.
Oh, well.
Don't think they see it from both sides. It's just how they see it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's, I think once you've had a life that's a little bit more tricky, the whole world opens up to realize, ah, oh, there are more sides to
this
story.
It's very grey. This life is very grey.
Yeah,
not black
lots
and white.
Of sides. Yeah.
Yes, I dwell in the grey.
Yes. Well, me too.
That's what Mandy wanted to call the book, Fifty Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey, but Penguin said no. I really did. I think it's an awesome title.
Apparently someone took it.
Because I think it does describe where we sit. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. It's, but also makes life much more interesting and makes us more.
Yeah, greater people.
Empathetic, because we're like, oh, well, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yes, I wouldn't trade the journey for anything.
No.
Yes, of course.
I think I started life as a very, because I was a high achiever academically. That's how I sort of got all my brownie points growing up.
Yeah.
And then as a mother, you know, you want your kids to be the one that gets A for the violin exam or runs first in the cross country or gets, you know, the maths prize. None of my kids did it.
No.
Yes.
But so that was probably the great leveler. Like, I stopped being that person and started to really think. I didn't live my life through them. Their achievements didn't define me as a mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you realize how little all of those achievements mean. Like, I don't know. I mean, we ask, have you ever won any awards? But
it's tongue in cheek from our end.
All the people that I've met in the last, say, 5 years of my life, none of them have asked me anything about my university scores or my ATAR or my, you know, like, because I think people are drawn to people because of their personality or their humor or their joy, and so
we all get there when we get there.
That's right.
Exactly. I don't like being defined by what I do either. You know, you say I'm a lawyer and all of a sudden people have this perception of the sort of person you must be.
Yes. I mean, Mandy and I have that. We're like, we're podcasters. People think we're a certain person,
you know.
Not true.
No, I think you
don't think anything of us.
No.
That's a joke. Look, is there something that you would really, a message that you'd like to get to
both of you,
both of you, to our beautiful P family
that we've might have missed?
Lee, you jump in. I've done a lot of talking.
I think we're very, as Marg said, that a plan is better than no plan, and things will evolve. What you also have to remember is you need to review your documents regularly.
True.
A set and forget will won't cut the mustard for 20 years. And so we encourage, we actually send out a letter 3 years after clients have signed their will as a reminder to say, you need to pull this out and have another look. And then if people realise that their circumstances have changed and we put in the letter, you know, some things that may have changed, then they may get back to us. Or some of them do let us know that they don't need it. So, yeah, a regular review is That's really true. Life changes.
It really does.
And if you prompt me with that, that's going to help me rather than me thinking, oh, I better remember that. I won't.
Yeah, that's right.
Because people forget when they buy an asset, they might buy investment property.
Yes.
Or there might be a relationship breakdown somewhere. Mm. And everything needs to
change again.
Yeah, very true.
And when we've got disability in your family, you're in the realm of complex estate planning. There is no getting around it.
Okay.
No, you can't come to me and say, I want a simple will. Okay. You can't do it. And it's not just disability. Other people have blended family situations and all sorts of other complications, or, you know, incredible complexity of assets, or, beneficiaries that live overseas. All of those things add together to make complexity, and you've really got to look at it all very carefully. So it's not a low budget or a no frills type exercise if you've got disability in your family. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth.
And we need to hear that.
Right?
And I think sometimes I will definitely speak for myself, not everybody, because I know there's incredibly awesome organized people out there, but there are some things that I had in the past let my partner take care of, and now that we're split up, I'm like, I really need to get my head around all this stuff, but I should have had it around it anyway.
Yeah.
Because he could have died or left me or any multiple of things, and it's actually my responsibility. Everything is.
I had a similar kind of thought when my marriage ended, because you are so consumed looking after your kids and their needs that you kind of live in this every day was like a running sheet. I used to think myself and you don't have time to attend to the binding death benefit nomination and all of those sorts of things. You're just in survival mode.
And you're carrying this mental load.
Yeah.
And you think, I can't add another time.
That's right. Don't ask me to do one more thing.
I remember when internet banking came in, and I just missed that whole thing. And people were like, oh, can you put money in my account? I was like, I don't know how to do it.
And it causes such stress.
And then I was like, I need to learn this. Yeah. You know, because it was just, I was right in the thick of chaos.
Yeah.
And realized.
I made a pact with myself when my marriage ended that I was never going to make any other financial step unless I understood it absolutely first.
Awesome.
Because I'd abdicated responsibility to financial advisors and stuff like that. And it'd been nothing really that come in return. I thought, no, I actually have to manage that. And then that rolled into me doing it, I guess, through my work for other people. It's like, you've got to understand this stuff. You're responsible.
You really do. And I know you think, I can't. I really, really, really get that. I don't
have time and space.
But even if you allow yourself half an hour a week to just have a think, what do I need to learn? Yeah, because none of us know. And even my beautiful mum, you know, different generation, but no idea, had never paid a bill in her life when my father passed away.
My dad put the petrol in the car for mum.
Yeah. So years. And we roll our eyes, but actually every generation has its own thing.
Yeah.
And every relationship has their you do that and I'll do this.
Yes.
And then you're like,
there's so much we could talk to you.
I've just done something and I can't find you.
Oh, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
We're still here.
We're still here.
We've taken our tops off, but.
the four piece, baby.
There we are. I've got it back.
Oh, phew.
I'm technologically challenged.
Oh, it's fine. Well, we just want to thank you both very much for today. You've given us so much food for thought.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be coming your way.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Or if you live interstate.
Yes.
I'm sure there are other lawyers that, you know, you might have to
look to find them, but they're there.
Maybe if you are in another state in Australia and you are specialising this, maybe you could let us know, and then we can let the peas know where you are.
Yeah, put in a hangout.
Oh, and I would certainly invite contact from other practitioners interstate, because if people often ask me, they might be moving to a new state. Is there somebody there? So if you are one of those practitioners, please make contact with Duncan Legal. We'd love to be able to network a bit more with you.
Terrific. Mm. Terrific. Yeah.
Could I just say, we have on our website a series of three important webinars for people. So our website address is www.duncanlegal.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And the three webinar recordings, we have one specifically on disability estate planning.
Mm.
That's an hour-long webinar. And then if people are thinking about special disability trusts, we've got a short 30-minute one on special disability trusts where Marg explains exactly what a trust is and gives you some things to think about structuring your assets and your will around an SDT. And the third one is on supported decision-making, which is the one for learning about how supported decision-making documents can help your young person who's about to transition into adulthood. We've set up a promo code for all our peas to get a $10 discount off each and every link that they download. And the promo code is all in capital letters, T-O-O-P-E-A-S. So
yay!
Two P's.
How did you come up with that code?
How did you come up with it?
Oh, it's really tough.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. And maybe people from interstate can get some tips from that as well.
Yeah.
And then it's have a really good next for their step. Lawyers.
Yeah.
It's a really good next step. There's a lot of information in there, and a lot of that's what I would probably talk to people about in a one-to-one session anyway. So it's a great next step, and it's a really cheap way to do it.
Thank
and
when you,
Mark. It's cheaper than sitting in conference with me.
Yeah, head miles at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, just
watch
that.
You can just watch it. Get some answers instead of stressing.
Yeah, whenever it suits you at whatever time.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, well, Marg and Lee, thank you very much for that offer for our community as well. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do.
Well, we also want to say thank you to you guys for what you're doing, because you're, I guess, putting out your experience and wisdom and inviting other people. It's like you're a campfire and we can come and warm ourselves around the campfire for a little bit.
Nice
so thanks for inviting us today. We're really, really thrilled to be part of what you do. Keep doing what you do, because I'm so grateful for what you do. I think it's so wonderful to find that understanding. Sometimes you feel so alone.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to know that that other people are doing it hard too, but still doing it in a way where they can sort of laugh and cry and see the positive in it.
Yeah.
It's very real. I think it's the connection with something that's really real that for me is valuable. So thank you for allowing us to come on.
Yes, of course. We just want the P tribe to thrive.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone who's in it.
Yep.
Same.
Yep. Yeah. We really, really do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you,
You're
Lee.
You're very welcome.
See you, Marg.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, Mandy, that was amazing.
Oh, yes.
I feel like I definitely have abdicated a lot of those responsibilities, but in my heart I know that they should be mine because I think, and this is only me, but I care the most about it, so I should know what the hell's going on. So I'm grateful for the kick up the bum.
Yeah, and I'm grateful to know now.
Yeah, now.
Not in 50 years' time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the fact that you do have to keep updating everything.
Yeah,
life
I didn't
changes
really think
all
about that
time.
With the will. Yeah. Yep. Well, I feel grateful that I could go there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that we will find places for the rest of Australia. Around the world might be different, but you might then be able to pop in your Google some of these terms, and then lawyers might turn
up. Yeah, it's
tricky
to go, oh, right, I need to have a think about that and that and that.
And
I
you
know
can
you may
watch
have
those webinars.
Pensions and all that around the world. So
that's right, it's different. Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Anyway, we hope you really enjoyed that episode.
We really do. So what made you cry this week, Mandy?
I went for a walk with my neighbour the other day and I was just having a cry about life, and I just realised it's really hard to cry and walk
really
up hills.
Really hard. She's crying, walking, not good.
No. And anyway, there's this really steep hill near our house and there's this pole and she goes, you just need to just have a stop at the pause pole. And I was, so I was like, you know, I'm just.
Hard enough to breathe up here.
That's funny. But anyway, I got everything out. Yep.
What made me cry was, I don't know if any of you remember, but on an episode, it may have been the parties episode, I said that when I turned 10, my dad had balloons printed for me.
Yes.
Yep, right. So my beautiful friend Jenny, I cried and cried last night. She sent me a balloon for my 50th with like a transfer.
Oh,
yeah. And it, she's like, I know your dad's not going to be
there.
I know. It just,
Jenny.
I know. I can't stop crying about it. I was like, you don't know how sad but happy I am. So, yeah, proper crying. And I love her. And she gets it. You know, some people just get it. Jenny gets it.
Yeah, and they see things.
Yeah, she does. She sees things that other people never see.
Yes, I love those people.
Oh, yeah. One in a million. We're so lucky. Beautiful. She's in the hangout. You're
going to blow it up?
Yeah, I'm going to have it at the party.
Yes.
So we'll take a photo.
It's near your cake or something.
Yeah. So I'm,
in a special place.
Yeah, really amazing. Yeah. So, yeah, that was incredible. So
maybe
yeah.
at the front door. So yeah. I mean, I'm going to cry now. I know. You know, I remember your 40th and he was at the front door.
I know, and had my bagpipes. Yes,
bagpipes.
Yeah, so anyway. Stop crying. Tell me what made a difference in your life. Yeah, it's a lot
to cry about. Yeah. Molly wanted to finish up hospitality in her VCAL.
Yeah.
It's just been too hard.
Yep.
And I just had to coax her through to finish the term. And then I forgot.
Well,
and then
fair
we started
enough.
Term again. And she's saying, I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm too stressed.
Yeah.
So I, that's fine. We all talked about it.
Yep.
And then I emailed the school and they just said, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, oh, I've put all this emotional. Oh, that's
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
We'll sort out that. I said, this is what I said. You can ask her in her own words and please do.
Yes.
But this is what she's told me.
Yep.
So, and she would prefer to do da 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 da.
Yep.
Oh, yep. I've spoken to her today. We're going to try and get her back into that. Might have to be term three. Anyway, see you, Mandy. You're just like, what? I'm sorry for the disruption this is going to cause, and I apologize. And we really did think this was going to be okay for her. And then, they just like, okay. But her teacher was beautiful. She's like, she doesn't need to do something that's too hard for her.
She doesn't.
I don't know why I get a shock.
I know.
Because there's so much to fight about.
So much. And when you don't have to, you're like, oh,
what a shock.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know. It is a shock.
It was a shock.
Yeah.
So anyway, that made a really huge difference. She just, because we're like, it's the first Thursday she's not going.
Yeah.
How do you feel? It's going to be weird. I feel great. She's done. Yep. I don't feel stressed. Okay. Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life is hard enough.
It's hard enough.
You don't have to feel stressed about
it. But it's that moment, this is all parenting. How much do you encourage? How much do you listen?
Yep.
We must listen.
Yeah, we must listen. Yeah. Especially when it's a long time and it's also like it's physically tiring me
out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, okay, so my make a difference, I've got two. One is that the beautiful Mia Friedman gifted 20
the Perry Summit.
Yeah, tickets to the Perry Summit to our
I forgot
our peas.
To acknowledge that.
And
yes.
What a beautiful thing. She didn't – there was no publicity about it. Nobody knows unless you're in the hangout and got your name down quickly.
Yeah.
I've had some peas message to say they enjoyed
it. Oh, good.
It.
I'm glad.
Yeah, they can watch it till December, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, it was just a really, really lovely thing.
I've watched half of it and it's helpful. And I went out for tea with my school mums and everyone's talking about it. And
yes.
It's just my friend's like, you need moisturiser up there.
I know.
I was like, okay.
I know. I'm like, but thank God.
And my other friend's like,
talked about it.
One of the other girls is, what is she talking about? I was like, well, it's this perimenopause summit and, you know, it was fascinating, funny discussion.
I'm just so glad that it's being spoken about.
Definitely.
And that thank you, Mia, because I am right about to happen, all that to happen. To me, so I'm really grateful.
Yes.
So, and the other difference in my life is that obviously I'm single and I'm having a big event at my house. So that's a first. But my ex-work boys, one of whom's a doctor, one of whom's a teacher, they're all coming around on Saturday to clean up my backyard and high pressure hose. And and then one of them's like, do you think we could stay for a couple of beers? And I'm like, they love me.
Okay.
And I love them. And what a difference. What a difference to know that I've got those men, I suppose they are.
Yeah.
Helping me.
They're just jumping in.
Yeah. So huge. Yeah. Someone helping me. All right.
That's wonderful.
What made you laugh?
Okay, so this people might think badly of me after this, but I went to Karen's Diner for Mother's Day
nobody dinner. Badly.
Well, because there's a lot of swearing at that place, but Miss 11.
Have they listened to the podcast?
No, but taking your children, right?
Yeah.
Miss 11, oh my gosh, told me all about Karen's Diner, showed me everything. So
explain what it is, especially for people.
Yeah, so
you
know
cities.
The term, you're being a Karen.
Yeah.
Basically, Kate and I.
Yeah.
Our age group, women that don't care anymore, I need to speak to the manager type stuff.
Yep.
So there is a restaurant. There are around the world.
Yeah.
So there's one in Sydney, they've opened up one in Lygon Street in Melbourne. And so you go in there and the staff are rude to you and you can be rude back to them. And we laughed from the moment we stood out the front door because you can't open the door. And so they stand behind rolling their eyes at you. It was just just to see Miss 11 giggling the whole night, that was worth it. And what a funny Mother's Day night.
And Mother's Day is hardly ever funny.
It's never funny. And I just thought, I want to go somewhere that's going to make my family laugh. And it did.
Awesome.
And Darren got right into it. They abused him on the microphone because he went to the toilet. They said out loud, "Darren, do you live in a house full of women? Why'd you leave the toilet seat up?" Took him a bit to get in the mode and then he got into it.
So good.
Molly was really laughing. Her friends know about it.
Yep.
And they, of course, she ordered nuggets. The lady just throws the nugget. They throw the food on the table. They throw the menus at you. So I just thought, when I was there, I thought, oh, no, how's this going to go? Anyway, so they just threw the nuggets down. She goes, "Bet you can't eat all them." And she goes, "Bet I can." She was so proud of herself, she spoke back to them. So we laughed a lot. And if you don't mind a bit of swearing and a bit of finger-sticking-upping, it was really fun.
Yeah.
And there was lots of kids there, so I didn't feel as bad.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
But not taking Mum. No. Might take Dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've really ummed and ahed about whether I should tell this story, but I laughed so hard, so forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. But I was talking to the boys, and I'm not even going to say which one it was, but you'll all be able to guess, turned around and said to me, "Oh, by the way, I've had a think and I've done a bit of research and it turns out I'm really well hung down there."
Well, I'm pleased to know.
Okay. What do you say?
Congratulations.
Great, mate.
You're identical twins.
Yeah. Anyway, I laughed. Number one daughter was at home.
Oh,
we laughed priceless. And laughed. It was so funny.
So funny.
And, it was just what we needed. So it was really, really funny.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, I hope that works for him in his
life. I know. Who cares? But it was so funny. I was like, oh, wow, you're really becoming a man.
Okay. Oh, dear.
And before we go today, and I just wanted to say that Mandy and I caught up with Jude from Canberra.
Yes, we did.
We also talked. We didn't just have coffee with her because she's an awesome human who we love, but she's performing at our Canberra show.
That's right.
So there's still, I think, 20 or 30 tickets. Please buy them.
We're coming. We're loosely accommodation flights. Like, really,
we are definitely COVID willing. We'll be there.
That's right.
We're very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you all. There's so many awesome Cambrian
really
chatterpees,
right?
They really are.
So we would be thrilled to see you.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was just lovely to catch up with her in our city, and now we're going to see her in her city this month.
Yeah, we had a great breakfast, the most delicious brunch.
They did. You know, this all restaurants should do, and I know a few do, but they do like a tasting plate.
Oh, my gosh,
so we had like
brunch.
Yeah. Little avocado toast. Little hash brown.
Frida. Frida, yeah. And then a little like muesli. Oh my gosh. Did we take a photo? We should have taken a photo.
I don't think we did, and it
was
so yummy.
Because I was so overwhelmed by the deliciousness.
It was so good.
I was right
orange
in my head.
Orange juice. Yeah, we had a really nice meal.
Kate, because I was like, oh, Kate. This is really good.
And we all chose the same thing.
And then she's like, oh, Mandy. This is
so yum.
Look, we've been starved of nice things.
We have, and we went into the city and it was really, really nice.
Yeah, we won't talk about the cost of the car park.
We can't. We can't ever say it. I'm never saying it out loud.
I just tap it and then we go, what?
Anyway, I think you've learned to expect that from us.
Anyway, thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Rate and review. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.